Hello, welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I went to H Mart today. It's my day off, which I'm so happy about. I'm always happy about it. You know, if I had the choice, I would have every day off and just work when I felt like it, not the other way. But I'm sure most people feel that way. And unfortunately, that's not real life. But I just thought I'd say it. So yes, I went to H Mart and I could spend all day in that store. I went down every single aisle. I spent hours in there, hours. And I love it. I love grocery stores of other cultures, like Indian ones, H Mart, which is all Asian, and even just the vegetables. The vegetables are amazing. I got fresh ginseng, and I was looking at all these other roots. I looked them up, all their health benefits, while I'm in the store, like totally in the way of everyone, because it's always packed in there. And I was looking up all these different roots, and I'm thinking, oh, like I should juice these, you know? And especially ginseng. First of all, it's very expensive, pretty pricey, but I'm thinking, I'm gonna juice it. I'm gonna be so freaking healthy. Okay, so a lot happened in December. I have to talk about it. I have to talk about the trip to San Francisco. It was only a weekend. Like, we flew there on a Saturday and flew back on a Sunday. But so much happened. I swear I could talk about every single thing a day that happens and do a full episode. I don't know if it would be actually exciting for you to listen to. And I don't know if this will be, but you know, I just have so many things to always talk about and things that are going on in my head. So I have to talk about it when it's fresh, even though it's not fresh anymore. But I have to like log into that trip, you know, in my head, go back, rewind. Because December was just so crazy. Too much was happening. I never had time to record. I was working constantly from the hotel. I do markets. I really just had a day a week. And even then I had to do, you know, laundry and all this other boring stuff. So finally today, I have a day for me, kind of. You know, I woke up later and I decided to go to Body Pump. Surprise. Before I did that, I spent a little time on the pole trying to get better. I went to Body Pump, a different gym, because usually today I would do the market, but again, I've mentioned this, it was a holiday. So I went to a different gym and I was just so happy to be there. I was so happy to be doing this class. But because I did the pole before I went to Body Pump, I could really feel it actually in my legs. And I didn't do that much. You know, that's how good a workout pole is. And I want to go back to taking classes. I'm going to look into this because it's been so long. And I just feel like an actual class motivates me. I get motivated by classes. I have self-motivation, but to a certain point, you know, if I think I don't have time or if I think I'm not going to be as good, I won't be. So a class makes me really more motivated, and I got better faster with a class versus just doing it myself. The thing is, if you have a motivator, you know, like if you go to the gym and you have a trainer, you do things you don't like to do and it makes you better. You know, I only do that with myself a certain amount. You know, I don't like to do things I don't like to do, right? Like none of us do. So it's always good to have someone else telling you things that you should be doing, making you better. So I did Body Pump, and then after that, I went to H Mart and I went through every single aisle. I looked at every single thing, and guess how much I spent? Like, what the hell? $300, like almost. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot more than I thought I was going to spend. I feel like 300 is a new magic number for everything. Like, do you remember when groceries, like you would get a lot and it would be $100 and you'd think, wow, that was a lot of money. Like now the new magic number is 300 for everything. And it's so much money. So yes, I'm going to make ginseng juice tonight, like with other things, and see how the taste differs. I'm kind of excited about it to try something else. So I want to talk about San Francisco. Okay, here's the thing. The reason for going was my husband's friend, who I hadn't met yet at this point, lives in San Francisco. And a year prior, he got married, but they never had a wedding celebration. So on December 7th, it was their 1 year anniversary party. They had this whole backyard set up. It was a big backyard party. The groom and the bride, I'll just call them that, they got a DJ, like a friend of hers, I guess, is an actual DJ. She is a flight attendant, and her DJ friend was also a flight attendant. But now she travels the world and just DJs, which I'm like, wow, that's awesome. They got caterers. They got, get this, a Brazilian barbecue caterer. No surprise, right? No surprise at all. Whenever you have a Brazilian person there, there's going to be a barbecue. Okay, for any event, it doesn't matter. It absolutely does not matter. It was awesome, though. So I requested off for the weekend, which usually I always have to work the weekend. We took an early flight from San Diego to San Francisco. It was an amazing flight. The skies were blue. Everything was clear. There were no clouds. I sat by the window and I looked out the whole time from San Diego up. I passed Catalina Island. I passed like Monterey Bay, like all these beautiful places. And I'm thinking, oh, we should go there. Oh, we should go there. Like, I want to go to all these places. I don't have any money. But yeah, let's just go. You know, like that's my head. Not realistic. So we get to San Francisco. We go to the hotel. So because I work for Hilton, I'm able to get $40 rooms. Cities are best. When they're islands, it's more resorts. So then I don't get a special rate, really. But in San Francisco, we got a $40 room, which is great, right? Because a regular room is now like $200 or something, right? If you don't have a discount, everything's expensive. And this hotel was literally like 5 minutes driving away from where the party was. We check in at the hotel, nice room, and then we decide to go to where the party's going to be. It hasn't started yet, but my husband wants to say hi. You know, it's his friend that is the groom, and we just want to go there and see if we can help and all this, right? We get there. I think we Uber there. I don't know, something like that. We get to the house, bright orange house. I'm thinking, wow, that's very orange. We go inside, nice house. It's on a top level. Then you walk inside. There's a big living room, kitchen area. And in the back of that, there's the backyard. Big backyard. There's stairs going down. It's a whole kind of patio backyard. So this is before anything started. They're setting up. There's a DJ booth. There's a whole cocktail area where all the drinks are going to be. The liquor's like being set up. So we say hi. We're there like maybe 30 minutes. We help with some things. And we haven't eaten yet. Like we haven't really had breakfast. I don't know. It's maybe like noon at this point. So I look what's close by. I want something breakfast-like. And guess what's nearby? Like a Brazilian cafe. I wasn't looking for it, I swear. And then my husband was like, yeah, let's go, let's go. We go there, it's just like a few minutes down the road, and I get an acai bowl, which I was very happy about because I hadn't had one yet. And it's a very Brazilian thing, right? It's like an acai sorbet, if you will. It's like frozen, and on top of that are fresh berries. There's like a granola style. My husband gets this like fried fish with beans, rice, french fries, you know, all the usual stuff, and farofa, which is like a ground yuca, typical Brazilian stuff. And his friend gets the same that comes with us. And I had some of the fried fish. It was really good. But it was just a lot to have for lunch, but I'm used to that now. That's normal. But it tasted good, you know. In the beginning, I was shocked to see all these carbs on one plate. But now it's like, oh, it's normal. It's fine. So after that, we go back to the hotel and just relax a little bit. And then a couple hours later, we get ready. And I think there's over like 100 people invited into this backyard. Like we basically flew there for this party. It's less about San Francisco and more about the friends, the party, okay? Because flying there just takes an hour. You know, it's like very fast. maybe an hour and 20, something like that. So we get back to the house and everything's happening. Like there's music playing. Oh, and I didn't say, but before we left the house to go to the hotel, there was this big truck pulling up into the driveway that said Brazilian barbecue on it. And they were the caterers. You know, here I was thinking, oh, these will be whatever caterers, you know. No, Brazilian barbecue caterers, of course. So they pull up, they speak Portuguese. You know, everyone's speaking Portuguese all the time. Like, this is my world. I'm learning it on Duolingo. I'm picking up a lot more. Like, I am noticing that. But I'm not learning it fast enough, you know. And sometimes when I'm tired, I forget certain words. The point is, I can understand a lot more now. But no matter where we go, we always find Brazilians now. Like, this is normal. We're at the party, and then the barbecue's going on. It's like this giant open roaster. I don't know how to describe it. It was a big cart, almost. There's coals. There's a big roaster pole, you know, above the coals, and you can raise or lower it. And they've got like vegetables hanging from it. There's meat on the grill. And it looks really good. It smells really good, you know. And that's pretty much like the party going on is the food because there's so much of it. The groom is Brazilian and the bride is American with a Hawaiian background. She was, I want to say, born in Hawaii, you know, and moved to San Francisco. But there's an Asian background. So all her friends and family are Asian, and then all the grooms are Brazilian. So there's a definite crowd forming that's arriving. It's either Brazilian or Asian, and there's these two groups. You know, they're standing in these two different worlds. And all the Brazilians are crowded around the Brazilian barbecue, and all the Asians are looking at the barbecue being like, oh my God, like there's so much meat. You know, the normal reaction that you have when you see Brazilian barbecues, but they're getting in on it and they're starting to realize, oh, this meat is really good, you know? So people are snacking, they're starting to like have some drinks. It's still early, it's not dark yet. And the neighbors are right there. Like this is not like an open field or something, it's just a backyard and you've got the neighbors' windows like right there. Everyone's kind of on top of each other and there's some trees dividing the neighbors in the back, you know, but the side neighbors, you can see their windows and there's a lot going on. Like the music's loud and I'm surprised that nobody complained, but I guess they invited the neighbors. So everything was fine. And then as the night progresses, there's a lot more music. The DJ starts and there's like dance music, you know, like full on dance music. And then the groom decides to spike my husband's drink with Molly. So my husband starts to get real happy and starts touching everything and saying to me that he loves me like a lot. And the thing is, I never took off my jacket because it was cold. Like it's cooler in San Francisco than it is in San Diego. And as the night progressed, it got colder and colder. So I'm just with my jacket. There were heat lamps, but they weren't enough. So as it was getting later, I was just getting chilly. Like I was talking to some people, like with some Brazilian people. It was interesting. And my husband's like getting drunk and he's telling jokes and, you know, he's getting more high on Molly. It was a very interesting dynamic. I've never seen someone on Molly. I started to tell him, okay, I'm ready to go. Like we got there at 3 p.m. And at this point it was, I want to say 11. So he's like, no, I'm going to stay another 6 hours. And I'm like, what? You're staying another 6 hours. And I'm like, okay, you stay another 6 hours. I'm probably going to leave in the next 10 minutes. And I was ready to call an Uber and just go. You know, he's at the party. He's with friends. A lot of people have left at this point. There's been a lot of meat, a lot of barbecue, even octopus, you know, really good food, as well as shrimp. They grilled mushrooms. Like it was very nice. The barbecue turned out very nice. I even danced to the live DJ. And then at the bar, they have these giant bottles of champagne, not a regular size bottle, an extra large bottle. And Rodolfo says, let's open one of these. You know, he's like, hi. And I said, no, that is not a good idea. And he's like, no, we're opening it. He opens the champagne, like after I put it back a couple of times. He took it the third time, opens it, pours everybody a drink, and everyone's just doing it for the hell of it. They're not doing it because this is necessary. But we all toast, we all cheers. I'm like, okay, now the party's done. I need to go. And one of his friends with his girlfriend, they drove me to the hotel. You know, the hotel's like 5 minutes driving, so it's very close. On the way there, because my husband decides to stay at the party, meanwhile, like 95% of people are gone. Okay, but he stays. And as we're driving, like in the 5 minutes, my husband calls four separate times, like every minute, I guess, right? And just to ask if we're okay. I'm like, yes, everything's good. And he's like, I love you. I love you too. And I get to the hotel. I shower. Like, I'm happy I'm there, ready to go to bed. I call him one more time just to be like, I'm going to bed. Good night. And he's like, I love you. I love you too. Okay. I go to bed. I wake up at like 2 a.m. He's still not there. And then I'm like, oh, like that's not great, but okay. 2 a.m.'s not unreasonable, right? I check my phone. There were 11 missed calls. You know, I put my phone on silent and everything. There were 11 missed calls and a text from him with a screenshot of all 11 missed calls on WhatsApp. And he sent me a screenshot, like no message, nothing. And I'm like, what? What the hell? And I go to the bathroom, I go back to sleep. And then maybe 15 minutes later, I hear him and he goes straight to bed, totally drunk. I totally messed up. The next morning, a friend of ours said that after we left, he made another plate of food, of all leftover food, and had a giant plate of food. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. So the next morning, you know, I sleep a little later. I get up at maybe 7, you know, which is, I went to bed a reasonable hour, like 7, that's a good time, right? I get dressed, like I have another shower just because I'm in a hotel and I like showering at hotels. So my husband wakes up and he's like not looking great and his voice is not sounding good. I got tickets to go to Alcatraz prison. Okay. I was prepared for him to be like, I'm not going to go. And I still would have gone, you know, but in my mind, I'm mentally thinking he's not going to want to go. Like he's not going to feel great. He drank way too much. Plus Molly, you know, so I'm thinking, well, he's probably not going to go. So I pack all my stuff because we had to check out by 11, you know, just doing my thing as he's kind of gathering himself. And then he's like, yay, we're going to go to Alcatraz. And I'm like, what? Nicely surprised, right? Like sometimes I do this. I think negative things, not because I want to. Just because I'm used to people, exes, whatever, disappointing me, okay? And I'm not looking for that. It's almost like I'm psyching myself out intentionally so that I won't get disappointed. You know, like we do all these twisted things to ourselves, right? And the more we've experienced, probably the more we do unknowingly. It's not like I was looking to do this, like expecting the worst. But it's like once you've lived patterns, once you've experienced these things, you just do it to your mind. Or I do, you know, just to be like, okay, like that's how it is. And I saw it coming, you know, not like to surprise myself and be disappointed. I don't like to do that. So it's like I'm pre-disappointing myself ahead of time, you know, to almost deal with the disappointment. But then it doesn't happen. And I'm like, oh, like, why was I thinking the worst? You know, and I hate that. Like, I hate that I do that to myself. But it's like, I don't want to think the best and then all of a sudden get sidebarred from something negative, you know, and have that ruin my day. It's almost like I'm preparing myself for the worst so that when good things happen, I'm surprised, you know, like, oh, but that's so twisted. It's so twisted what we do mentally just to deal with everyday life. But anyway, he's like, oh, let's go to Alcatraz prison. And I'm like, yes, we are. We are going to go. Obviously, he's not feeling great, but he's still like open to it. And I love that. And I love that he didn't follow what was in my head. So yes, there is hope in humanity still. Right? So he took Tylenol. We went down for breakfast, and the breakfast was crappy. You know, when you have a free continental breakfast, you have like microwaved eggs, just everything looks fake. And I tried to get the most real looking items. I got oatmeal with some nuts on it, like trying to get healthy stuff, you know, got a banana, like got real food. And I got an English muffin. I did have an egg, but it was microwaved, you know, weirdly. But I'm like, okay, it's fine. Whatever, it's free, okay? And you know me, when I see something free, I can't say no. So he lays down a bit more. I start gathering all the things for packing, just because we had to check out by, I think, 11. Our flight was later in the evening, like 7 p.m., I want to say, like later. So we had the day to spend in San Francisco. I didn't want to fly to San Francisco and not actually do something in San Francisco. I wanted to do Alcatraz because every time I had gone to San Francisco prior to that, it was always sold out. And typically I would look the day of for tickets and it was always too late. You know, so the first time I went to San Francisco was in 1992. We lived in England, my family and I, two older brothers, like family of five. We traveled to the U.S. for the first time, and we did this road trip. And it started in L.A. We did it in a camper. It started in L.A. We drove up to, like, Lake Tahoe, Yosemite. We did, you know, a couple of national parks. We stopped in San Francisco for, like, a very short time. You know, but that was the first time we were there, and then we drove back down again. But even at that point, we couldn't get to Alcatraz. You know, it was sold out, and that was in 92. So the last time I went to San Francisco was for a Paul McCartney concert, which was in Sacramento. And I went with my friend, and we stopped in San Francisco. I think we went to a restaurant of a famous chef. We went to Dominique Crenn's restaurant, great restaurant, but we went to the bistro, so it was very casual. We had lunch there, so that was the second time in San Francisco, but again, there were no tickets to Alcatraz. Oh yeah, like it's coming back to me. The first time I was in San Francisco, in the camper, we drove over the Golden Gate Bridge, and that was a big deal. At the time, there were no cell phones. My mom's video recording with this giant video camera on her shoulder, and I've got this regular camera and I'm just taking pictures, and we're on the bridge, but we're moving and we're going like not slow. So all the pictures I took were blurry with like orange bars, you know, from the side of the bridge that are blurry. Just be like, oh, it's Golden Gate Bridge. But when they came out, they're like, oh, this is it. You know, it's not exciting looking. It's more exciting to take pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge when you're not on it. But that didn't happen. Yeah, that was in 92. So anyway, I never had a chance to go to Alcatraz. And I'm like, I want to go on Alcatraz. So I even wanted to go when we decided, or when my husband said, we're going to this backyard party. I said, okay, can we leave on a Friday so that we can go to Alcatraz? He's like, no, like there's no time. I have to work. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, when I realized that we had nothing to do on Sunday, and I think in, you know, in my husband's and friend's mind, it was just like Sunday's recovery day and then we fly back. And I'm like, no, I want to do something, right? So that was when we are not doing anything on a Sunday. Like I asked him, he's like, No. Because I guess initially there was a thought to go to the 49ers game. And I'm not a football person. I would have seen it live, but I guess the stadium is not close. Like it's like 45 minutes outside of San Francisco. And I guess games live go for a while, and then you have to get out of the traffic and then get back. So we wouldn't have made it in time for the flight. And I had to work the next morning and get up at 4:30, even though like this flight was kind of late, but his friend's flight got in even later. And I guess he could have gone to the game, but it turned out that a game was $400, like a ticket, you know, because they were big at the moment. So it was $400. And I'm like thinking that's like dumb, you know, especially since if I had gone, I only would have been interested in the food, probably. You know, like, I just don't understand the game. I have friends that are totally into it. Great. I understand soccer. I understand football. I don't understand American football. And I'm not into either, really, you know, except for when England played against Germany back in the 90s. Like, that was a big game, okay? But I'm just not into watching these games. So anyway, the 49ers game didn't happen. So then I'm like, so we're available? And he's like, yes. So I'm like, can I book tickets to Alcatraz? And he's like, yes, okay. I'm thinking, yes, yes, yes. Like in my head, there are tickets available, $45, something like that. So I booked it. I'm excited. We check out of the hotel and we leave our bags there because we're going to go back to the airport, and our hotel was close to the airport. So we get an Uber into San Francisco, and as we're driving through it, it kind of reminds me of like New York, New Jersey, just the way some of the apartments are built. Everything's very flat, but everything's super, super close together, as in any city, you know, but San Diego is so different. Things are close together, but you still have more greenery. There, you didn't really see any of that, and it was more hilly, so you can see over all the hills, and it's all just taken, you know. Same as San Diego, like there's no available land, but you have a little bit more space than like you do in New Jersey or San Francisco. So we get to the Embarcadero area, and I see Houston's there, which is now Hillstone, but you know, that's where I used to work on Park Avenue in New York. But they have one there by the Embarcadero. And that brings back memories. You know, I worked there for 5 years in New York. So we walk to the loading dock, like the boat dock of Alcatraz. And we're a little bit early, but we get to go in the previous boat, which was good, you know, because that way we can just be done sooner and do something else. So we're on the boat. And then on the boat, my husband's not feeling great. You know, like the boat movement doesn't help. And then he's like hungover. So I get him a plain pretzel, like just one of those generic pretzels that have no flavor except for cardboard, you know, but I guess that's all he needs just because he's not feeling good. So I get him that and Coca-Cola because that's good for an upset stomach. And yeah, we take the ferry across to Alcatraz, and I didn't realize, but it's actually a national park. And there's all this history behind it, which I had no idea. Back in the day, Alcatraz was built as a protection island to protect San Francisco. So if something were to happen to San Francisco, they actually had cannons. So Alcatraz was built in the 1800s. And in 1849, it was sold to the U.S. government. Alcatraz was the site of the first lighthouse on the coast of California. That's a fact. And then in 1861, the island was designated as a residence for military offenders. And then Alcatraz became a prison in 1934. And then the first 137 prisoners arrived. So it was operated as a prison from 1934 to 1963, and it closed. And then in 1973, Alcatraz was open to the public as a historical landmark. And it's now officially Indian land. And then it stopped operating as a prison because the institution was too expensive to continue operating. But also, right before that, three prisoners made an escape attempt, and they were never found after that. And there's a whole movie about it. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's with Clint Eastwood, called Escape from Alcatraz. Very good movie. And after, when we got home, we actually watched it. And it was filmed in the 70s, and it holds up today. It's a very, very good movie. Obviously, they don't know the ending. Nobody ever found them again. People assume that they died in the water. So that's why Alcatraz was so hard to escape from, because the water was so cold and the current was so strong that even if you made it to the water, prisoners didn't survive. So anyway, we're on this ferry. We see Alcatraz. We get there. And you get off the loading dock, and then you walk up like a kind of steep path, and the prison's at the very top. They give you an audio tour, so you listen to audio on headphones. They tell you each spot to go, and they have a story behind it, which is really cool, you know. But you get into the main prison, and it's not very big. It's really cool just because everything I've heard about Alcatraz, and then being there, it's very different, you know. And the cells are tiny, absolutely tiny. Like, even in the movie Escape from Alcatraz, you don't really see how tiny it is, but you can just fit a bed in there, and you have like a little room on the side of your bed, like absolutely tiny. I cannot imagine being in a cell like that. You know, you've got your bed, you've got this tiny, tiny sink, and a toilet. That's it. And then we took part in this tour. Well, it wasn't a tour so much. Like, we took part with the audio tour, but then at a certain time, one of the national park officers, I don't know if they're officers, but she did a demonstration of how the doors opened and closed of the prison cell. And they're all operated by gears. And she explained it. It was very interesting. But you have to pre-program the gears before you open the cell. Like, you have to open them carefully because, you know, if there's a prisoner inside, you can't just open all the doors at the same time, even though there is a function where you can open them all at the same time. You can only do that when you have enough guards, right, with all these prisoners inside. She explained to us how to open the door with the gears, like how to individually open them. And then as you opened the door, you could see that it was red on the side. Because when you're looking at all the cells from like straight down the hallway, you can't necessarily tell that a door is open. But it was painted red on the side, so then you can tell, okay, that door is open. And initially, when it was taken over from the government, the island, the doors open like a regular door. You know, it was a military prison first. So the doors opened outward, not to the side. So before it became Alcatraz prison, they changed all the bars so that they opened to the side. Because if a door opens the regular way, it can be used as a weapon, you know, to harm officers if you're a prisoner. So anyway, we went through the recreational yard, where they went out every day, you know, to have like 30 minutes of fresh air. We went to the dining room where they ate. There's a library. We saw where people can visit you. And there's like this tiny little window where you can look out. And it was just really interesting. Like, I love that we went. And then from Alcatraz, you have some really great views from the Golden Gate Bridge, from the city. So we went outside and we saw the views. They even have a garden. So if you were a good prisoner, you would get like jobs, right? You could organize the library, you could go out and garden. So all the prisoners, they all had duties, right? So if you worked on Alcatraz as a guard, then you lived on the island. And children were actually raised there, you know, like families lived there. So like the husband was working at the prison, and then the wife with her kids was living in an area, you know, where the families live. Kind of weird, you know, to imagine to be living on Alcatraz. And it's a tiny island, like not big at all. So we were there for about 3 hours, and then we took the ferry back. And at that point, we were hungry. So we're like, let's have a bread bowl with clam chowder soup, you know? Like, I just remember when I went to San Francisco, I remember having a bread bowl. Oh, yeah, I went another time to San Francisco. I was living in New York, and I went there. My ex had, like, a job interview, so I went with him to San Francisco. Yes, and that's when we had a bread bowl. So I remember the bread bowl, and again, at that point, I didn't go to Alcatraz. So normally when I go to San Francisco, it's kind of rainy and not nice. But we had excellent weather. It was sunny and actually even warm. So that was a nice change. We get back. We have this delicious bread bowl. I could have used more soup. You know, it's like when you have a bread bowl, there's never enough soup that fits in it. But you just have to have a bread bowl because it's classic. But it was very delicious. And then we got these mini hot donuts, like 6 mini donuts. Because I can't not have a sweet treat. And then I saw the Biscoff Cafe. You know the Biscoff cookies that you have when you fly? Well, here they have the cafe. And I was thinking, oh my God, they've got to have some amazing creations in there, all with Biscoff. I go inside. No. Basically, when you order a latte or a coffee, it gets served to you on the side with a Biscoff cookie. And I'm like, why did they do this? They could have made it way more interesting. So they just had regular bakery items like croissants and muffins. But I'm like, they could have made everything with Biscoff cookie paste or crumbles or something. Like have a donut filled with the Biscoff paste, you know, like something exciting. I was disappointed. It was not exciting. So we didn't have anything there. We walked around the Embarcadero area a little bit with all the shops and everything. And then we got back to the hotel, we grabbed our bags, and then we made our way to the airport. And there we took a nap. Like, we found a spot in the airport where you could lay down. There's no, like, usually when you go to the airport, right, you can't lay down and there's the armrests in the way. But here we found a spot. Like, the San Francisco airport is really nice, like, very, very modern. I guess it's been redone, like, not too long ago. And they even have a yoga room at the airport, which I thought was cool, but kind of crazy. So anyway, we laid down for a couple hours just because we had some time. And then we took our flight back, very fast flight at nighttime. So we get back to San Diego kind of early, like before our flight was destined to land. But then we sit on the runway. So the thing with San Diego Airport, the airport is too small. It's being redone, but it's taking a while, like a few years. So we sat on the runway for an hour just to finally be able to get off the plane. And this has happened a couple times before in San Diego. So anyway, that was our trip to San Francisco. And it was just like a fun weekend. You know, we fly there Saturday, we fly back on Sunday. Very fast, but it was nice. You know, it was fun. And then the next day I work and work resumes as normal. So yesterday I did a different farmer's market. I think what's going to happen is in February I'm going to teach. And I don't know the latest on that because I'm supposed to take over from a pastry chef that has been working there for about 27 years. He has an illness. I don't know what it is. But they were looking to have a backup. When something happens to him, then I'm ready to go in, right? And I was supposed to start teaching in February. I will know in a couple weeks what's going on, and I might have to teach with him. Also, I don't know where anything is in the kitchen. So it would be good to teach with him just to know the routine, where everything is. So that's supposed to start happening in February. But the thing is, he doesn't want to leave. He was supposed to leave, but now he's not. And he just won't let go. So I don't know what's going on. But he's very old. And he just doesn't want to leave. So I'm hoping to start teaching in February. So I would teach Monday, Tuesday. I won't be able to do the farmer's market on Tuesdays. So I'm kind of looking, like if it's slow at the hotel, I was thinking, okay, maybe I can fill it with another market. So I went to this market a little further up north, not that far. It's like a 20-minute drive, but it's on the parking lot of a school. So yesterday was January 2nd, which, is right after New Year's. So I guess it was slower than normal. It is a nice market, like it's very casual. The thing about the Tuesday market is it's where a shopping mall is. So there's always a lot of people, but it doesn't mean that they buy. You know, I do usually make a good amount of money there, but it's just a different vibe. Like this market, you have to actually know it's happening and drive there or see it on the side of the road and park. That could be good or bad. But yesterday, my experience was pretty good. I made, you know, all the donuts, the German crullers, as well as my fresh pretzels and other things. I made an almond cake with like a raspberry cream cheese icing. I had some cheesecake bars. Like I always have my standard things and then I do a couple of other things to just have special items. So it was kind of slow only because I guess the holiday, right? And people ate a lot of sweets over the holidays. But my pretzels almost all sold out and I didn't have that many donuts left, which is good because I make the donuts and the pretzels at the kitchen, right? Like at the commercial kitchen, and I pay for that. So if these items don't sell, it's kind of like a waste. So luckily these items sold, but overall I made less than I normally would at a Tuesday market. Also, this was my first time at this market, so it's still positive. The stand next to me was selling strawberry cake. So it was almost like a competition. If somebody bought the strawberry cake, they weren't interested in my things. But if somebody didn't buy the strawberry cake, they were interested in my things, you know? So I was trying to promote the pretzel since it's not sweet. So this market only goes for 3 hours from 4 to 7, which was fine. It did get very cold. I thought, okay, let me bring my items after the market. Once I packed everything, let me bring it back to storage. Because normally I wait to do that the next morning, but I didn't feel like doing it this morning because Friday today is my day off and I'm going to go kayak, which I was wanting to do a bit later in the day because I have an appointment at a doctor today where they're going to tell me the results of my blood test and my arthritis test. So that's later today. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go kayaking to time it with the doctor so I don't have to go downtown twice. Okay, so yesterday I bring my stuff to storage. I park there. There's nobody else. Like it's dark, isolated. Okay, it's like 9 p.m., something like that. There's this Jeep that pulls up and there's a gate. You have to put in your code and then the gate opens and lets you in. But this guy pulled up, he punched in his code, it was denied. He punched it in again, was denied. He parks on the side and he walks up to the passenger entrance of the gate, like the pedestrian entrance. And through the gate, he says, can I let him in? So I kind of got a weird feeling because, you know, it could be sketchy, right? Like it's not positive. But I didn't want to be like, no. You know, so, which, okay, if something were to happen to me, you know, like I always see these creepy, like serial killer, like murder. And this would be like the perfect scenario, right? Like if this were like a psycho. I open the gate, you know, and he's like, can you open the gate? I haven't paid for January. It was January 2nd, so it's not like a crazy story, right? It could be the case. So I open the gate and I'm thinking, okay. So then he waits for me because there's another door where you have to put your code in. So he was waiting for me to open the door. So I was gathering all my things. I open the door. He walks in. He's like, are you going up or down? And I'm thinking, there's no down. There's only up. Like there's 3 floors. So that was a weird question. I'm like, why did he say that? And I'm like, I'm going up. Right. I'm going to the 3rd floor. He goes up ahead of me. And as he's going up, I'm like, why did he say up or down? Whatever. I go in. I go in the elevator. I go up to the 3rd floor. And he's there at his storage. And I look in and it's like bike stuff. I'm like, okay, so this story does pan out. And I think watching these like serial killer shows is really bad for me because I left my cell phone in my car. And I'm like, if something were to happen to me now, like that's it. You know, I would have no way of calling anybody. And I'm like, damn it, I shouldn't have left my cell phone in my car. I walk past him, you know, and my storage is like further down around the corner. I load my stuff and I'm like, what if he were to come up now and lock me into my storage or something? You know, I'm thinking all these stupid things. And I'm like, stop it, stop it. So I put my stuff in, close, you know, my storage. I go back to the elevator. Like, he's gone. And I'm like, okay, like his story worked out. Thank goodness. I go to my car. Everything's normal. You know, I didn't need to tell you this story because nothing happened, like, thankfully. But my point of telling you this story is my mind is messed up. Like, that's what I'm saying. You know, I've just seen so many, like, thrillers and negative, like, movies that now I'm thinking, like, the worst. So as I'm telling you this, I'm realizing I need to stop thinking the worst, right? This is what's happening. So, yeah, I got back home. I cleaned everything as normal. And overall, it was a positive farmer's market. But I did make less money than I normally would. So I think I will try this market again if I happen to be off on a Thursday at the hotel and try it again and see if I can make more or if another time it would be busier. And if not, then I don't know. We'll go from there. My point is, I don't know what's happening job-wise, but I think it's good to have some sort of a backup. You know, even making some money is better than zero, right? Even if I do invest like all day in a market. So yeah, so that's what I'm doing today. I'm about to go kayaking. I work Saturday and Sunday, and then on Monday we fly to Hawaii, the Big Island. So I'm super excited about that. I always love to travel anywhere, right? So I love that. I'm always excited. So I will keep you posted on my trip. Thank you for listening to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.